many Christians have struggled with being sure that they're saved. What do you think? Is assurance of salvation even possible? What does the Bible say you must do to gain salvation? And what does the Bible say must be true for you to keep it? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today in this broadcast of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Let's jump right into the discussion with Sean and Bob. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
My name is Bob Wilkin.
Bob, there is a question that people ask us all the time as part of our ministry with Grace in Focus magazine and Grace Evangelical Society. Is assurance of salvation possible? Can we actually have assurance? Can we know for sure without any doubt whatsoever? It reminds me of a quote from Benjamin Franklin. He said, after they wrote the Constitution, he said, "Our new Constitution is now established and has an appearance that promises permanency. But in this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes." Is Franklin right about that? Or are those the only two things you can be certain about? I'm kind of thinking that we don't even need to be certain about death, right? Believers don't need to be.
Right.
We have a hope.
Right, exactly. Well, the thing is, this is postmodernity, the idea that we're not sure of anything. And the truth is, that's absolutely contrary to the Word of God. According to the Word of God, anything that God says is true. It's established. It's permanent. The Word of God will not ever fade away. And the same is true. We know many things from science. We know many things from history. We know many things legally, mathematically. There's lots of certainty in life, but the greatest certainty is when God says something, that settles it.
The ironic thing is, the people who say you can't be certain about salvation, well, that's a truth claim. And they seem pretty certain that you can't be certain about it. So we'd like to suggest to you, you know, just consider this, that it's possible.
Amen.
And more than that, let's consider this. We're going to argue that you should be certain of your salvation. In fact, that's kind of the essence, you might say, of saving faith. But before we get into that, let's talk about two faulty views of salvation and assurance.
Okay, well, one view is, and this is one that's very prevalent among people who believe you can lose your salvation. They believe you can lose everlasting life. They will say something like, "I'm very confident that I'm saved today. I just don't know if I'll be saved tomorrow."
Like right now, if I died right now, I'm pretty sure I'd go to heaven. But, you know, an hour from now, tomorrow morning,
right,
I'm not sure. Who knows what'll happen?
Right, because they base their assurance on perseverance in faith and perseverance in good works.
So wait, let's talk about that for a second. That view of assurance tells you a little something about what they believe about the saving message.
It sure does.
What they believe about the saving message is it takes more than a single act of faith to be born again and to have that everlasting life forever.
Right. Either they say it takes more than that to be born again, or they say it takes more than that to keep it.
And just to be clear, our position is, it's Jesus's position, all it takes is one act of faith in him for everlasting life, and you have a life that is everlasting.
Yeah, I mean, a good example is Jesus talking to the woman at the well. He says, "Give me something to drink." And she says, so she's wondering why he, a Jew, is asking her, a Samaritan woman, for water. And he then offers her living water. And she says, "Where are you going to get this living water? You don't even have anything to draw from." And then he says, "If you drink the water that I give, you will never thirst again." And she says, "Give me this water so that I never have to come here again to draw." She clearly believes that one drink of this water will forever quench her thirst.
That's what Jesus is promising. He's trying to distinguish the water that he gives from the water she's been getting.
Absolutely. And it's interesting, she leaves her water pot behind, which a lot of commentators say she's leaving the old religion behind, and she goes to the town to witness to the men of Sychar. And the other interesting thing is Jesus picks up on this in John 6. After he feeds 5,000 men, plus probably another 15,000 women and children, with just one small boy's meal, he then says, "I am the bread of life." And he says, "He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst." "He who believes in me shall never thirst" goes back to John 4. Once you drink the living water, one drink, you're secure forever. One eating of the bread of life, you're secure forever.
And so in this faulty view of assurance, what people are actually saying is, well, I'm not thirsty now, but who knows about tomorrow? I might thirst again.
Right.
Well, I'm not hungry now, but maybe later tonight I'm going to need a midnight snack. You know, so the equivalent is, well, I have an everlasting life now, but I'm not sure about tomorrow.
I tell you, a lot of people, this goes to the second type of false assurance. Calvinists hold the view that those who are elect are secure forever. We just don't know who the elect are.
So they're sure that the elect are saved forever. They're just not sure if they're one of the elect.
Right. And so they're going through life. I call it daisy theology. He loves me, he loves me not, and they hope to end their life on he loves me.
And the weird thing is that's how Calvinists would describe Arminian theology, the idea that you can lose your salvation. They call that daisy theology.
Right.
But since you don't know that you're elect, and you don't know if you're going to die in faith in a good way, it amounts to the same uncertainty.
It seems to me that when a Calvinist said they believe in eternal security, it's only formally. In actual practice, they believe you can believe in Christ and yet end up in the lake of fire, because if you don't persevere, if you don't heed the warnings in Scripture, well, then you're not going to make it.
Right. So they would say if someone falls into gross immorality, if they get divorced or they get caught in a sexual scandal or they murder someone or do something even worse, and they persist in that, they never come back, that proves they never believed in the first place. That's what they would say.
That's true of both of these views.
And so they would say, I have assurance right now because I'm living a godly life now, but I can't have assurance ultimately because I don't know if I'm going to persevere in that lifestyle.
Yeah, but let me challenge even that first part.
Mm-hmm.
About I have assurance now because I'm living a mostly good life now. The problem is none of us lives a perfect life. The only way you could have certainty is if you were living an absolutely perfect life, if my certainty is based on my works. And so almost all of these people will say, well, I think I'm born again now because I think I see the works that God does. I remember I was talking to a Calvinist pastor. And I asked him, I said, is it true that all of the elect persevere in faith and good works until death? He said, oh, absolutely. I then said, is it true that according to the Bible, we can't be sure if we will persevere in faith and good works? And he said, oh, of course we can't be sure, because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:27 that he disciplines his body lest he might be disapproved or disqualified. And he said, if Paul couldn't be sure, neither can we. And I said, well, then tell me, doesn't this mean then that we don't know where we're going until we die? And his answer was, I see in my life what I think are the works of the Spirit, but I must admit I could fall away. And if I do, I'm going to the lake of fire. And to me, that's well-intentioned, but it's a problem because basically they're getting people to serve God so they might make it to heaven.
Right. And let me say this. In our ministry, we get contacted by an unusual number of people who struggle with OCD, you know, another kind of obsessive compulsive and perfectionism. And they call us and they are in agony because they are so particular and they are so strict of themselves. They look at their life and they don't see a good life at all. They don't even have that assurance that some people have of being like, you know, I'm better than average, so that means I'm elect. They look at themselves and all they see is the imperfection. They're in agony. They totally lack assurance because their assurance is totally based upon themselves. It's all inward. Lutherans would call this morbid introspection as the basis of assurance. And that is not biblical. That is not the biblical basis of assurance.
And I'm so sympathetic to that because, you know, I am a recovering perfectionist. I am a recovering obsessive compulsive, almost disorder, not quite. So for me, I found it liberating when I realized that assurance is not based at all on my works.
All right. So let's say the false views of assurance are all kind of internal based. What is the alternative? It sounds like the alternative is that assurance has to come from somewhere outside of us. It has to come externally. It has to come from Christ's promise of eternal life.
Absolutely. Assurance is found by looking outside of ourselves, looking to Jesus and looking to his promise. He said, he who believes in me has everlasting life, John 6:47. Or he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, present tense, shall not come into judgment, future tense, but has passed from death into life, past tense. The point is, Jesus guarantees that the moment we believe in him, we have everlasting life, we're never going to be judged to determine our eternal destiny, and we've already passed from death into life.
And so here's our challenge to you. You've probably heard about assurance, and you've probably heard it taught as if your assurance should be based on your behavior. Our challenge to you is to consider that maybe your assurance should be based on Jesus' promise to you and on his faithfulness to accomplish what he promises. Think of it this way. Think of it as a kind of a simple syllogism. If Jesus said, whoever believes has everlasting life, and you believe that, then what do you have? Well, you should know that you have everlasting life. And if you believe that, then you have assurance. That's all that assurance is, believing that Jesus gave you what he promised to give you.
You know, Sean, you and I have both used this approach in talking to people to help them find assurance, right? I remember I've pointed people before to John 6:47. Jesus says, he who believes in me has everlasting life. So then I say to them, do you believe in Jesus? And they say, oh, yes. Oh, I believe in Jesus. I said, so what do you have? And they said, I don't follow.
Oh, I don't know. What do I have?
I said, well, Jesus said, he who believes in me has everlasting life. And they say, well, if it were that simple, I would have everlasting life just by believing in Jesus. And I say, right. And they say, but we know it's more complicated than that. And I say, do we? And what I want them to see is the promise isn't to the one who believes in him and perseveres in faith and good works. It's to the one who believes in him. And when that dawns on people, that's where we get the word eureka. Mm-hmm. I have found it. You know, it's in Greek. It means I have found it. And these are people who are so excited to know they are secure in Christ.
So our counsel to you is if you're doubting your salvation, if you've struggled with this for days or weeks or even years, and you're not sure if you're going to go to heaven when you die or be with Christ on the new earth, what we want you to do is to consider turning away from yourself, turning away from your sins, turning away from your good deeds, turning away from anything about you, and turn to Christ. Look to him. Look to his promise. Look to his promise of everlasting life and simply believe, simply be persuaded that he's going to do what he promised to do. If you're a believer, he promised that you have everlasting life. That's a present possession. We urge you to just believe, simply believe what Jesus promised is true of you, and then you will find true and certain assurance.
Simply believe. That's brilliant. Thank you, Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar, for this clear and biblical discussion about the assurance of salvation. Simply believe. Just believe what Jesus promised. He is truth. He is trustworthy. He is the essence of assurance. It's been great to have you along for this broadcast of Grace in Focus, a brand new radio program. We're praying that God will use this outreach to spread the news that his grace is absolutely free and that everlasting life is available to every person who simply believes in Christ for it. We'd like you to learn more about Grace Evangelical Society, our parent organization, by going to our website, faithalone.org. There you can pick up a free subscription to our magazine, which has the same name, Grace in Focus. It's published 6 times a year, and I think you'll love it. Once again, thanks for being here. Next time on Grace in Focus, we'll continue with a related topic, assurance and God's approval. Are they related? How so? Or why not? I'm Lucas Kitchen. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.